हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, so page 13. Summary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's essay on Jana Sangha, Association with Worldly Minded Persons. The word Jana means both female and male beings. Srila Rupa Goswami has written in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a devotee should associate with devotees who are more advanced. Scriptures often state that without the association of the Lord's devotees, Bhakti Devi does not manifest in the heart. It is most necessary for sadhakas to associate with devotees. Therefore, in this context, the word janasangha is understood to mean persons who are devoid of devotion. That is why Srila Rupa Prabhu has included the instruction to give up worldly association as one of the limbs of devotional service. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.2.43, it is said, one who desires to attain devotion to Krishna should carefully give up the association of worldly people. That means the devotee should not engage in the activities mentioned in the fourth verse of the Upadeshamrita with worldly people. Activities like talking with worldly people in the course of one's work is not considered association. When the same activities are done with affection for someone, then that is considered association with that person, right? This is very important because it's said that means that someone who performs sinful activities, then to associate with such a person is also considered a sinful activity. Right? But then it's very careful to point out that just sitting with them, you know, eating with them, riding in the same carriage with them, that's not association. But at the same time as later on when he's defining association, then he says it's exactly the same thing. You understand? So then it would be confusing because you're eating with them or being involved like that. The difference is when it's done with affection, it's association. When it's done without affection, it's not association. Yes. Parents. I see. Basically. So in other words, it's being done... You're interacting with them on the... See, in other words, they're materially worldly minded. So then that means that all they're going to deal with is on the worldly platform. Right? So whatever is the appropriate etiquette of worldliness and interacting, then that much is done. You know what I'm saying? Means they're doing it out of affection. They're talking about the weather and this and that. You're doing it because that's the etiquette. Does that make sense? Yeah? Like that. It doesn't mean that what's appropriate, the proper way of talking or tone of voice, then that's fair. Does that make sense?
Ego is the biggest if it's on the same level.
Yeah, because it's said here that we should especially associate with advanced devotees.
So why would equals then what? And I'm just saying, how do you get to the point of the equals?
Like
it just says most necessary for sadhaks associate with devotees, because it said scriptures often state that without the association, then Bhakti Devi does not manifest. So that means you have to associate.
Here, the devotee should associate with devotees while working.
Yes.
So it's the most beneficial.
Yes.
But the most, it means it will help us the most.
Yes.
But there are three types of associations.
Right.
So the most difficult among them is the...
Equals. But how often do you actually meet an equal? Every day. Because generally they're either a little above you or a little below you. Like that. The ones that you have that... That chivalry's with are generally when they're exactly equal. You know what I'm saying? But then that's more fun. But for others who are in the, you would say the category of equal, then yeah, generally there's more difficulty there. Can be. But it can happen anywhere. So the point is that you, in other words, in that, then you associate with that quality within that person that you feel is the special feature. Right, that, you know, you focus on that. And then those that are not, then don't worry about them so much.
Shall I paraphrase? Means it's better, the most beneficial is to associate with the most, with the more intense feelings.
Yes.
Among the three types. So yeah. You should always seek the more intense associations.
Yeah. Yes. Means one's looking for that, but the point is it's done in the association of devotees. But one should be trying to associate with those more advanced than oneself. But so that can either be they are all around more advanced, or you're associating with whoever it is through that quality that you find is of value. You know, like that. So that way, even though they may be across the board more advanced, that particular quality you will respect. Is that something? Every practicing devotee should know the various kinds of worldly people. Therefore, we are hereby most unwillingly enumerating these people, right? Because before, it was mentioned that prajalpa means talking about others, right? So pointing out weaknesses or faults or other things like that. So only because it's beneficial, therefore it's being talked about. So he's not happily discussing this, you know, as one might discuss other topics. Right? Otherwise, one will think, well, he talked about it, therefore we... No, it's just a matter of what is... These worldly people are of seven kinds. One, Mayavadis and atheists. Two, sense enjoyers. Three, those who are fond of the sense enjoyers. Four, women. Five, womenizers. Six, the hypocritically devout. And seven, the ill-behaved, foolish outcasts. Basically covers it, right?
Yeah.
Anyone left out here?
No, I don't think so. I was just wondering that...
Means he will go through and explain them all.
Okay, right? Yeah, let's just...
Then when it gets to there, it'll probably be more clear, right? The Mayavadis do not accept the eternal name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Supreme Lord. They consider the living entity and the process of bhakti temporary manifestations of maya, right? It's the same as in the other one. All the Mayavadi conclusions are opposed to the principles of devotional service, and therefore, by associating with Mayavadis, one's devotion gradually disappears, right? So they're the worst. Association with sense enjoyers is harmful because they are filled with blasphemy, envy, violence, quarrel, argument, and hankering for sense enjoyment. Their lust is never satisfied, and thus they never have time to hear topics about Krishna. Whether pious or impious, the sense enjoyers are always devoid of sambandhyam. So this is someone who is committed to, you know, enjoying their senses. It's not specifically meaning the common person, right? But at the same time, as they are also committed, so in that way you could say anybody. But these are specifically ones being careful, because here it's that whether through pious means or impious means, but they're always busy trying to take care of the senses. Right? So that's the point. So there's no time for hearing about Krishna. And they're very enthusiastic, committed to the idea that you can enjoy in the world. So the Mayavadis, that there's nothing here, it's all illusion, and there's nothing in the spiritual world, so it's all just illusion. So that doesn't make much for devotional service. Here it's that they're just engaging the sense of simply enjoying themselves. So they're the center of attention, they're the controller and enjoyer, and they're always busy doing these things. Besides that, because they're so committed to that, then all these other qualities, blasphemy, envy, violence, quarrel, argument, hankering, those are all very prominent. Right? Because the more you endeavor, then those qualities will come up. Right? You're trying to control those, then those come into control. Right? Those who accept externally sense objects just to maintain body and soul together, but internally engage in their constitutional position as servants of Krishna, are not counted amongst these sense enjoyers. Right? So it's not that the senses are connected to the sense objects that's the problem. It's your commitment to that connection that's the source of happiness. Right? That's very important, because otherwise they will say, he's a nicely situated grihastha with all facilities, he's a sense enjoyer. No, that's not what it means. It means someone who's committed to that. Right? It's not someone who, in the course of their duty, maintain body and soul like this, that there's interaction of the senses and sense objects.
I think most devotees, this is where we have that problem.
This is the problem between the temple and the community.
Yeah.
Or between the brahmacharis and the grihasthas. Yeah.
Yes, people don't see that each person has their quota, basically.
Yeah, everyone has their quota. Someone has more, someone has less.
Right.
This idea everything should be equal, then that's not the thing. Because if everything should be equal, how should it be equal? Who defines equality?
Exactly.
Right? So therefore, this brahmachari has very little, everyone should be equal, so everybody should be like him. No. It won't work like that. The idea, when the person who says it should be equal, means equal according to his standard and his definition. Right? That's the point. So it's not actually about equal, it's about everybody doing what they want.
Who was it that said, we're all equal, it's just some are more equal than others?
So yes.
Snowball and Animal Farm.
Snowball.
Oh, yeah.
That was the particular name of the pig.
Yeah.
His name was Snowball.
Yeah.
So, quoting Snowball.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm not sure it's bona fide.
It's very bona fide.
Snowball.
You don't like snowballs?
I like them very much.
Okay. So, the...
Brahmacharis,
Kuda, senses. Yes, so the idea is that these subtleties, because it says who accept externally, but it doesn't mean internally that's the mood. It's when internally it's accepted, that's when the problem is there. Does that make sense? And sense enjoys means they're focused on that. It doesn't mean someone's focused on devotional service and there's some distraction or some anarthas. That doesn't make them a sense enjoyer. Right? That may be the area of weakness that they have to work on, but it doesn't make them a sense enjoyer.
It's about seeing yourself as the controller and enjoyer.
Yeah, it's about seeing yourself. Because the sense enjoyer means he's busy making plans and arrangements how he will enjoy himself.
It means that devotees cannot be counted. Any of the devotees,
devotees wouldn't be counted as basically any of these worldly people, because he said in the word jana means both male and female beings. Right? So the point is that if one's a devotee, one's not counted as the seven. But if one is not a devotee, then one generally falls into one or many of these seven categories. Yeah, you could probably end up be all seven of them, you know?
That was my question.
It means, could you be all seven?
Could you actually mix it out, yeah?
Well, let's say it means, going by, means only because you mentioned it this morning, if you go by your position, then if you take homosexually inclined female, then she would be a woman and a womanizer. Right? And she could therefore be focused on that. She would most likely be a sense enjoyer. And she probably has other friends like that, so she's fond of them, so she's fond of sense enjoyers. She could be a Mayavadi or an atheist by, you know, the proclivity. She could at the same time, you know, be, you know, some other kind of, you know, how you say, religious sentiment, so be that, and be from a very uncultured background.
That beats you on that.
Yes, that beats you on that. Yeah. Okay, so there you have it. It's not far-fetched. Probably if you check in Amsterdam, there's quite a few. Amsterdam, Berlin, you know, there's probably quite a few. Okay, that's probably why he asked. So,
I gotta go.
Excuse me. Okay. There are some people who are not themselves sense enjoyers, but they take pleasure in associating with sense enjoyers. Their association should also be renounced, because they will soon become sense enjoyers in bad association themselves. You know, like they have a group, you know, of people. There's the one, the wild guys who always, and then there's the guys that just like being around and just seeing and stuff like that. So just a matter of time before they become like that. There are two types of sense enjoyers. Those who are extremely attached to sense enjoyment, and devotees who are attached to sense enjoyment. Associating with those who are extremely attached should be totally rejected. The devotees who are attached to sense enjoyment are also of two types. Those who have included the Lord as part of their sense enjoyment, and those who have kept the Lord in the center of their sense enjoyment. Associating with the latter type is preferable to the association with the former. Right. In other words, with sense enjoyers, there are those who you know, extremely attached, and devotees who are attached. So generally, the devotees aren't extremely attached, but in any case, they're attached. So the non-devotees are extremely attached because that's all they have. Now, of the devotees, then you have those who Krishna is part of their sense enjoyment, or who Krishna is the center of it. The one who Krishna is the center, then that is progressive. The one who is just part, then it won't be as progressive. So of the two, then, you know, yeah. Does that make sense?
Could you elaborate on?
Elaborate. Let's say someone, you know, they really like eating nice food. So then they always are, you know, cooking for Krishna and doing nice things for Krishna. But they like also eating. So then, but it's connected to Krishna. But you have the other person is just, he, you know, he likes nice food and he likes nice arrangements and he likes hanging out with his family and this and that. But it's Krishna's not exactly the center. It's prasad.
Right.
But it's not that Krishna is the center of the enjoyment. It's that, you know, he connects it to Krishna, but it's not Krishna is the center of it.
That's grihastha griha maybe.
Grihastha griha maybe, yeah. It can also be that depending on how it is, it could be grihastha, but it's not so nicely, consciously the center. You know, like that. It's griha maybe, it's, yeah. The, yeah. He is. We're talking about devotees.
Yeah, won't we classify them as great devotees? Even though
they you can, because it's Krishna is as part of their sense. In other words, they're devotees, but their family or their money or their security or their other issues are most important. And then Krishna is part of that. So you generally, as a normal thing, wouldn't classify them as a Griyamedi. But technically they are. Just like the devotee is engaged in karma yoga. You don't classify as, you know, he's a karma misra bhakta. You understand? You only use that when you're dealing with the actual exactness of the anartha. You know what I'm saying? Because, I mean, he's pointing out griha medhi in that Krishna's not the main focus. Like that. So then that can put him there. Is that, in other words, if their intent at Krishna is the main focus, but they're not so good at it, you wouldn't count them like that. But it's like they'll have their philosophy of why they only do so much, you know, direct devotional activities or only take part now and again, and they're just being practical, and, you know, they have to take care of themselves and the family. They have duties. They, you know, they're not irresponsible like others. And, you know, all this, they go blah, 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 blah. Did I miss something? No. Okay. So, like that. I mean, the blah, blah, blah covered it all.
Yeah, yeah.
So then the point comes up is that they're, that you would say is that the weakness is they're situating themselves like a Guru Maybe. Their intent, I'm sure, is not to be one. So technically, you wouldn't count them as one. You know what I'm saying? But the point is the Griha Medhi is doing what is right. We generally take it, Griha Medhi means the gross, disgusting materialist. They are also Griha Medhis. But the example given the Bhagavatam is a pious person following the Vedic culture. Right? So they're pious, they're good, they're nice, they do everything wonderful. So, because we will make the mistake of counting piety as devotional, then we can sometimes not understand that just being pious is not Krishna in the center. When it's devotional, then Krishna is in the center. Does that make sense? Right? In other words, these kind of discussions aren't for general use. They're for analyzing one's own self and if one can help with others. You know, or analyzing that, okay, I should be careful in this association. But it's not for general discussion. It's not a general terminology.
It's about always finding the constructive angle.
Yes, yeah, you're trying to find a constructive angle. But it doesn't mean that constructive isn't the glass is half empty.
No.
You know, but the point is it's being done, it's being dealt with for, you know, in a constructive way of how to take this and apply this of use, right, to one's Krishna consciousness. You know, but it's not that we just say it's useful, you have to make it useful, right? Because you say it, that's nice, but you have to make it useful. You have to take the responsibility of taking it that to that degree that the person understands it and see how to practically use it. Right? So, okay. Yeah. Although those who are engaged in sense enjoyment according to religious codes are better than the sinful sense enjoyers, still the practicing devotee should not associate with them until they become devotees. Right? Because it mentioned before is the sense enjoyers may be pious, whether pious or impious. You know? Like that. So even their pious, one should avoid of associating with them. Right, and remember, association means with affection. You have some business with them, some reason for interaction, that goes on. But one doesn't become close or intimate until they become devotees. So now they're pious, they're devotees. Now they fall into the category of the devotees, where it may be Krishna's the center or Krishna may be part, you know, included. Right? Does that make sense? Like that. Considering all this, the practicing devotee should give up the association of sense enjoyers and those fond of them and engage in devotional service in a secluded place, or if he is fortunate, in the association of genuine devotees. In other words, if there's no one else, no genuine devotees, then one might be on one's own. But it's not a preference. It's not that this is the best thing for devotional development. You know, this is not nirjan bhajan. No, this means that there's no one else. Like that. If there's no food to eat that won't make you sick, then better you fast. You know? Does that make sense? So like that. But if he's fortunate, then he'll get the association of the bones.
Could you say a little bit about dealing without affection?
Dealing without affection, okay. I thought you said dealing without a faction. And a faction means, you know, a party, you know. I thought that was just part of the northern Syria. How do you deal with that, you know, the greens and the oranges? How do you deal without that, you know? The guy's out of
obviously is me. You know? Yeah, but he's an aura. Yes. Saffron. You're the saffron faction. Means that you're dealing according to the etiquette. It doesn't mean you're not good at it. You know, as we said before, the person performs their part or their role. It's not that they're not good at it. You know what I'm saying? It's not that the guy has to think he's King Lear or love King Lear to be a good actor. He plays the role appropriately, but it doesn't mean... Does that make sense? So one deals very nicely what's appropriate and things like that. But the point is one seeing it because they're actually servants of Krishna, whether they understand that or not, that's another thing. You know what I'm saying? But when they understand that they're servants of Krishna, then you can become close. Does that make sense? So you give association, you don't take association.
I remember you said it was like if you associate with somebody on there, like you.
It's not that you're not performing the role on their level, but you're not dealing on the same level of consciousness. You know what I'm saying?
Like if they invite you to a lamenting session
about the body, then but you don't have to go. There's all kinds of important other things to do, you know, like that. You know, you say, oh, very nice, well, thank you very much, I'm so happy you considered me and all that, but fortunately I already have something I gotta do. What's that? Well, I've been invited to a, you know, being really happy about it, you know, being on the transcendental platform meeting, you know, so it's like a, sorry they conflict, you know. It's a tough one.
Yeah.
You know, it's
so with parents and family and such, sometimes, just in general, like hypothetically, conflicts may arise because they used to see you engaged in activities that you're no longer engaging in.
Yeah.
And so then having respect towards your parents and dealing nicely compared to having these principles, sometimes it's a little difficult to make.
No, but the point is they have to accept people change because they don't mind that you're not, you know, smoking dope and doing other things now, so they shouldn't also mind that you're doing those things that make it so you're not doing those. You know, the point is if you interact nicely, there's not a problem. You know, point is you eat something different or these things, it doesn't matter as long as you interact nicely. But if you get all preachy about it, in other words, they eat what they eat, you eat what you eat. So, you know, work on the principle, they don't bother you, you don't bother them, you know, like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But if you make what you're eating interesting, they might want to check what you're eating, and so then they get some benefit. You don't need to check what they're eating.
I heard an interview with Bhavananda, and he was saying, well, back in the day when he joined, it was like suddenly his parents, his mom's pots were contaminated, she was contaminated, the house was contaminated. He was talking about...
The whole of Jersey was
contaminated. Yeah, exactly, yeah. That was kind of like the
only benefit was the Hudson River there. Huh? But the point is it's how you deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know? The point is, the newness of it, then one can't discriminate. So better they remain Krishna conscious, but due to their lack of discrimination socially, it doesn't necessarily go so well, but you're a devotee, because being a devotee is more important than being, you know, socially so perfect. Yeah. So, but the point is as one develops, one should be able to be a devotee and be able to interact properly. That's all. So it's just the newness of it. So it's not that devotees can do any better nowadays. Some do. You see your senior, mature devotees, they're able to do.
But a lot of the others, they can't. They either completely stay away or totally involved. They don't know how to, you know, maintain your position at the same time, be very pleasant and nice. Does that make sense? It's kind of, yeah. It reminds you of something. What is it? I don't know which the company, but one of them, when they start, you know, on their little thing, you know, it goes, it starts, you know, that's kind of like a little slow and
record player.
A practicing devotee should not associate with women. On the other hand, when a woman is engaged in sadhana bhakti, she should not associate with men. Associating with the opposite sex is very inauspicious for the advancing devotee. When a man and woman are married according to religious principles, there's no sin in their touching and talking with each other. Rather, this touching and talking is beneficial because of the scriptural sanction. There is, however, no provision for illusory activities other than the execution of reciprocal duties. If they are illusioned by each other and they engage in activities other than prescribed duties, then that is called Stri Sangha or Purusha Sangha, or association with the opposite sex. For those who are engaged in worshipping Krishna, such association yields inauspicious results. If either one is guilty of such association, then they become an obstacle for the other party. Considering these points, the practicing devotee should very carefully give up the association of women and persons fond of women. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam 3.31.35, the infatuation and bondage which accrue to a man from attachment to any other object is not as complete as that resulting from attachment to a woman or to the fellowship of men who are fond of women. For a renunciate, there cannot be any type of talking or touching a woman. Otherwise, his practice of devotional service will be completely spoiled. Association with such a deviated person should be totally rejected. So, here then it means that someone's not married, then there's, except for the basis of service, then there's no need of interaction. If it's based on service, then the service is going on. But just a social exchange. Right, that's not important. That doesn't mean if it's, you know, means here if someone's known or someone's senior or someone's, you know, related or something like that, you're not saying hello or something. But it just means that there's no need of just, like you'd hang out with the boys or the girls hang out with the girls. You don't do that. That kind of thing's not there. So if someone's married, then if they're associating and, you know, interacting, they're talking, they're touching, then that's not a problem. Right? Because that's what Shastra recommends. But he said, according to Shastra. So, what's according to Shastra, that's not a problem. If it's not according to Shastra, or one is illusory activities, means one is not seeing the cultural element, I mean the Shastric element of this, and one thinks that this is the cause of one's enjoyment. That's a problem. Does that make sense? Right? That's a problem. So, if one or both are in illusion, that's going to be a difficulty. But But if it's seen properly and it's according to Shastra, then there is no illusion here. So it won't get in the way of the devotional development. Right? Yeah. So someone who is under that illusion, or someone who is if one is illusioned about it, or dealing with a woman who is an illusion, or a man who is an illusion, that should be given up, and given up the association of those who are in that illusion, and therefore find this good. Right? Does that make sense? Because it says that there will be in the infatuation and bondage you'll get from this association with women. There's nothing that's going to be more than that, because it's all inclusive, right? Anything that there is in the world, basically one can involve it in the association with women. Does that make sense? Other things, you know, you have a friend, you can't involve as many things. Right? You know, you and your guy, you know, friend are, you know, fixing your pickup truck and all this and that, and then you stop and go, hey, it's the sunset, you know, let's sit in the back of the truck and watch the sunset. You know, it doesn't happen, right? You understand? So there's not as many things. Do you know what I'm saying? True, we won't go into that. Yes.
Can it be considered as an anartha?
Yes, it's an anartha.
Practicing and by devotional service and...
Yeah, no, it's an artha. It means all these things are things to be given up. So anything to be given up would be considered to not have given up. That's an anartha. Once given it up, then that's favorable. But if one hasn't, anartha means that which is not favorable that hasn't been given up yet. Does that make sense? So it's a matter of the attitude. We see in it, it's not the situation, it's the attitude. Right? Of course, there are ones where situation, right? You know what I'm saying? But it's more the attitude. You know, like the gross sense enjoyer is someone who they have faith that they'll be happy through that. The devotee is engaging the senses, but he doesn't have faith that this is what's going to make him happy. By habit, he's involved in things like that. Does that make sense? But it doesn't mean that he has the faith that this is the main thing. So therefore, he's in a different category than the gross sense enjoyer. But of those who see it connected to Krishna, and those who it's not so well connected, then the one who's connected is proper. Right? So for oneself, then this thing is that, therefore, understanding the connection between man and woman in connection with the scriptures, like that, and devotional service, then that's not a problem. That's not this Sri Sangha or Purusha Sangha that he's talking about. Right? But if one doesn't, then that can be a problem. Does that make sense? One should give up the association of dharmadvajis, the hypocritically devout. Right? The dharmadvaji is he makes a big show out of his devotion. Everybody has to know, you know, like that. With special care, right, means that he gives up. Those who accept the external signs of dharma but do not actually follow dharma are called dharmadvajis. Right? Means if he's actually following in that and he just wants everybody to know, then that just means he's got a big ego. You know, he's like that. But so it's not as good or pure as proper. But one who makes the show of it, but it's not really, then that's the...
How does Sahaja compare to this?
Sahaja?
There's
a little similarity, but it's also, yeah.
But wouldn't they be so interested in Dharma more in Rasa?
Yeah, but the point is that they're making a show out of Sanatana Dharma instead of just any other old Dharma. Well, see, he's going to get into it here. There are two type of dharma dvajis: the hypocrites and the fools, or the cheaters and the cheated. Such hypocrisy in Janakanda and Karmakanda is also condemned. In devotional service, this hypocrisy ruins everything. Better associate with sense enjoyers, for in this world there is no worse association than the dharma dvaji. So here he's applied this dharma dvaji in jnana, karma, and also in devotional service. So that would mean the sahajas. Right? But someone's a big, you know, thinker or a big renunciate, but it's only a show, or someone's a big, karma. But show means that they know they're making a show out of it. It doesn't mean that they're attempting to, but they're not doing a good job. Does that make sense?
Karmakanda would be like your used car. Splashy Las Vegas suit.
Yeah. Are you throwing in any gold stars in his teeth?
That would be good.
Yeah, he's got to have a gold chain, right? You know, thing or like that, you know. Trying to kick the tires.
Yeah.
You can. I mean, these would be the externally, you know, hypocritical attitude. But the principle is there. But they may be applying it within it, making a show that they're very devotional and so worried about it and all this and that. But they're not necessarily. There's another purpose. Does that make sense? Pretender, yes, pretender. Yeah, it means hypocrite is a pretender. But they make the show that they're not pretending. That they're sincere, but they're not actually. There's a purpose. In other words, there's an agenda other than pleasing Krishna to their you know, devotional activity. You know what I'm saying? It's not that you won't have, due to false ego and pride and all these things coming up. You have to see that this is their basis of their association. You know. Does that make sense? Like that. What's his name? I'll have to try to. Manu gives very exact definition. What are the qualities and how they work?
When are we dealing with Manu?
That may be this after Gaur Purnima. Like that. Because we'll just take that slot and every year works. So but the Bhakti Anuchana, I'm not sure how long it will take. Might take the full 12 years also. Because somehow that I can't reduce it below what, you know, the essential points. So I don't know how long that will take. Right, better enjoy sense enjoyers because it's direct. You know that they are sense enjoyer, they claim to be a sense enjoyer, and they're involved in sense enjoyment. You know what I'm saying? At least it's direct. But it's still bad, it's supposed to be given up. So the point is this is worse. They're presenting themselves not as sense enjoyment, but as religious and all, but they're not actually. Externally exhibiting the symptoms of a Vaishnava, while internally remaining a Mayavadi, is actually pseudo-Vaishnavism, or hypocrisy. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antya Lila 13.93.109.1010, there is a description of Ramadasa Vishwasa, who was externally a great Vaishnava, devoted to Lord Ramachandra. Ramadasa had renounced everything and was going to see Lord Jagannath. While traveling, he chanted the holy name of Lord Ram 24 hours a day. When Ramadasa Vishwasa met Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord did not show him any special mercy, although this was their first meeting. Within his heart, Ramadasa Vishwasa was an impersonalist who desired to merge into the existence of the Lord, and he was very proud of his learning. Being the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can understand the heart of everyone, and thus he knew all these things. Unless one gives up the association of this type of dharmadvaji, one cannot purely engage in devotional service. So that would be your jnana kanda dharmadvaji, you know, like that.
Seems like atheists like to project these types of behavior onto all religious people.
Yeah, well, that's there because they themselves are. Yeah, means finding the fault is the easy point, but the point just because the fault has been found doesn't mean that that's the volume of it's considerable or important. You know what I'm saying? Because there's always, the point is within the area is it good? Like George Washington, he was a great statesman. He was a great general. I think when he was fighting in the war, as a general, he was 21 years old. You know? So these things, you know, his honesty was very good, you know, in that area. Then he was a great statesman. You know, he worked out you could probably say the most stable and sustainable democratic political system. So from that angle, then you'd have to say he was good. But then on the other side, you don't bring up, you know, halfway through that when everyone's, yes, he's this and he's that, and go, but he died of syphilis. You know what I'm saying? It's a different discussion. Does that make sense? So the difficulty is that we have to see that we don't use that, and that's generally what will be used, is that they don't have faith, so they'll always find the fault. But the point is those who are atheists, you can also find the fault. So the point is, finding fault, that's the easy thing to do. Being able to find something's of value, that's more difficult. Right? It's just like you go into some of these big department stores. It's all schlock. Right? Now, but to be able to find something in there of value, now that's something. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it can be done. Like that. Of course, easier to go into a boutique, it's easier, but wait, you know what I'm saying. Unless one gives up the association of this type of dharmadvaji, one cannot purely engage in devotional service. Here comes the good part. Most of the people in the world are of this type. Right? They look religious, but you ask them God, he's impersonal. So technically, it's there, you know, some variety of dharmadvaji. Therefore, until one gets the opportunity to associate with a pure devotee, he should pass his life engaged in devotional service in a solitary place. So therefore, better alone than with such personalities. Sorry? It's true. There's 2:15s. Yeah, the other day we had one. And it went back, and I was reading from the thing before, and somehow the sentence just basically worked. It connected. But in the context, it didn't. But, you know, you could discuss it and bring it into the context until someone pointed out, no, I think it's the other page. Or, oh, okay. That's like that. So. Okay, 1:16. The worship of Krishna is not enhanced by associating with ill-behaved, foolish outcasts. Okay, what did he... He gave the 7. Hypocritically devout and the ill-behaved foolish. So he gave the different varieties of hypocritically devout. So you see is that you have the sense and joy, those who associate or appreciate. Women, those who associate. Right? Like that. So there's always that, you know, element. They are naturally attached to eating meat and drinking wine. And they are not situated in Varnashram Dharma. Their character is always unregulated. By associating with ill-behaved persons, the mind becomes polluted. But if those persons become faithful in devotional service by associating with a Vaishnava, and they gradually get a taste for worshipping Krishna with a pure heart, then their association is auspicious. even if they commit abominable actions for some time due to their former nature, still they are sadhus. In other words, someone who's taken up the devotional process, even if they're new to the process, even they have so many bad habits, but when you're associating with them, you're associating with them just on the devotional platform. Right? You're not going back to their house and engaging in all kinds of stupid things. Right? They're at the temple, they're there, they're enthusiastic, they're chanting, they're helping, they're doing all these things. But it doesn't mean that they still don't have bad habits. But they're considered sadhus because of their commitment to the devotional process. Does that make sense? You associate with them on that level. In Bhagavad Gita 9:30-31, it is said, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. This is determination is to be Krishna conscious. He may not be so expert at the practice, but that's his determination. So the determination defines. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. The purport is this. If the outcasts attain faith in unalloyed devotional service by some good fortune, then it can be said that they have attained the genuine path. Now you can understand also the difference here is that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur was made, then the Dharmadwajis were the most people of this world. And so 150 years later, then the foolish outcasts seem to be more prominent. But, you know, here it's taking those who, you know, consider themselves religious and like that. Yeah. So one could be a foolish outcast and be a, how you say, a Dharmadwaji. Yeah. If the outcast attains faith in unalloyed devotional service by some good fortune, then it can be said that they have attained the genuine path. There is no doubt that in a short time they too will become pure and peaceful by following the footsteps of Haridas Thakur. Right? Peace means there's no material desire. That means for karma or jnana. Ill behavior due to one's nature necessarily remains for some time. Even then, such association cannot be called bad. In the Srimad Bhagavatam 11:20-27-29, the symptoms of such person is described as follows, right? Okay, so point. Okay. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee remains happy and worships me with great faith and conviction, even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment. My devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. When an intelligent person engages constantly worshiping me through loving devotional service as described by me, his heart becomes firmly situated in me. Thus all material desires within the heart are destroyed. The conclusion is that the association of pious and sinful persons who are bereft of Krishna consciousness is undesirable. On the other hand, the association of devotees who are sinful, yet devoted to the Lord, is desirable. Right? In other words, you're not associating with them on the platform of their performance of sinful activities. Does that make sense? But when they are engaged in devotional service and you're associating with them at that time, their association is not bad. It's not so this old idea is that, oh, there's this fault in that devotee, so there's nothing good about their association and they should be cast out. Right? That doesn't fly. That's the meaning of they're still sadhu, because the devotional element, those are good. Right? Where they're weak, that's another thing. Yes, it'll go away because it's by bad habit. Remember, we're talking here about the foolish outcasts. Then they take up devotional service. He didn't mention this point with anyone else, though it can be there, but it would be there in a milder form, right? In other words, what is the problem with means the husband and wife are associating based on Shastra, right? So that's fine. But let's say that basis on Shastra, they're in illusion about the material happiness that they'll gain from it. That's the weakness. You know what I'm saying? But the point is what they're doing that's improper is still according to piety. Does that make sense?
It's about the consciousness.
Yeah, but here we're talking about the foolish outcast, the ill-behaved foolish outcast. Here, then, by necessity, is going to continue with his sinful mentality. Does that make sense? You know, it says their character is unregulated, right? They're not situated in Varnashram Dharma, right? They'll be unclean. So those things might continue. They can't, it means, now we're still discussing whether Varnashram is important or not, right? Varnashram means human life, right? If we discuss the five symptoms of human life, right? Protecting women, cows, you know, brahmacharis, old men, and brahmins, we only discuss them one at a time, and even that's political. Right? You know, the women's movement, it's a political movement. It's not part of the Varnashram system. Right? The Gurukulis, then it's a political movement. You know what I'm saying? Or they get into cows, but it's only because they're into cows, so everyone should be into cows. So it's occupation. It's not ashram. Does that make sense? Like that. Old men, then it may be, some will understand it appropriately, but some will just see it as welfare. Right? Brahmins aren't discussed. You know, except for how to control them, they shouldn't be managing, so we should take care of their money. Right? Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So the point is it's still, these are weaknesses. So it's understood, but that doesn't mean that the devotees aren't sadhus. You know what I'm saying? So their association is desirable. You know? Does that make sense? But you're not associating when they're being unclean or non-varnashramic or, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you would also avoid if they're eating meat or wine, you know, so like that, so. That makes sense. So those are the obvious ones. We're bringing out the more subtle. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1251 quotes the following verse spoken by Maharshi Katyayana in the Katyayana Samhita. It is better to accept the miseries of being encaged within bars and surrounded by burning flames than to associate with those bereft of Krishna consciousness. Such association is a very great hardship. It's just kind of, you know, intellectually interesting, but it might be too crass. So I was going to say those in the, how you say, it was better to accept those misery. It means if we go back to the Spanish Inquisition, it was better to accept those than to associate with the Dharma Dwajis who put him in that situation. No?
Yeah.
Not overly presentable.
Not politically correct.
Yes, not at all. But it's not that the person in the cages weren't also Dharma Dwajis. So that's the weakness here. While practicing devotional service, one should carefully understand this subject and act accordingly. Srila Prabhupada describes Janasangha as follows. One should also avoid association with Mayavadis, who simply blaspheme Vaishnavas, devotees, Bhukti Kamis, who are interested in material happiness, Mukti Kamis, who desire liberation by merging in the existence of the formless absolute Brahman, and Siddhi Kamis, who desire the perfection of mystic yoga practice, are classified as Atyaharis. It means, in other words, eating more than what you need. To associate with such persons is not at all desirable, right? Because here's Atyahara means anything to overeat, so to overly accept something. So to overly accept something not useful in devotional service is also atyahara. So, you know, impersonalism, you know, bhukti, mukti, siddhi, kami, all that's not desirable. 6. Summary of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakura's essay on Lalyam, ardent longing or greed. The meaning of the word Lalya is restlessness, greed, and desire. Interesting, because one devotee was saying he is restless. You know, he gets restless, and so Prabhupada said, read the books. Sit and read, you know. I mean, one is that, you know, if you're restless, you don't want to sit down. So having to sit down, you get purified. But by reading, you get purified, and then it goes away. In other words, it's a symptom of lalya. Otherwise, what makes you restless? Right? Like someone who always has to travel, what is it called?
Wanderlust.
Wanderlust, right? So it comes to this that, you know, this kind of, you know, so much desire and want, you know, so it's just similar, just applied in a different way. Restlessness is of two kinds. Restlessness of the mind and restlessness of the intelligence. The material mind follows the dictations of the senses, which give rise to attachment and aversion. Thus, restlessness of the mind is of two types. Restlessness due to attachment and restlessness due to aversion. Right. So then the mind will be connected to the senses, so it's either the senses want to be connected to something or one doesn't want to connect them. Right? So both, one is restless. Right? In order to overcome the restlessness of the mind, one should dovetail all sensual activities in the service of the Lord, and the attachment to sense gratification should be transformed into attachment for the Lord. Then the mind becomes fit, because you're attached to the sense gratification because there's a result, but that result being for Krishna, then you become attached to Krishna. So the sense engagement becomes connected to the Lord, and the Lord becomes the goal. Right? So then from both those sides, then the activities dovetail, so then it becomes purified. Then the mind becomes fixed in devotional service by taking shelter of that attachment, right? It means the mind's going to go to the attachment, but you connect the attachment to Krishna. You know? Does that make sense? Like the person is attached to food, so you offer the food to Krishna. Then by eating, by being attached to the food, he's actually connecting himself to Krishna. So he becomes purified. So that's the trick. So now you can get out of your bucket, right?
The bucket is back.
The bucket is back. One has to arouse a mood of devotion in all sense objects, taste, form, smell, touch, and sound, and enjoy them. Then devotional service is cultivated. Right? In other words, you see a connection to Krishna, so you're happy in connection to Krishna. Therefore, then you're cultivating that. It's slow. It's indirect. But it's progressive. Because by it, you'll gain knowledge and detachment. So that you'll become freed from it. You have knowledge, so you become freed from it. But the cultivation of it in connection to Krishna, that will develop the devotion. So it's attraction to Krishna, then that will carry on. Does that make sense? You know, that's all what we were discussing previously about the method of Bhuti Yoga. You know, how to connect the senses and the mind, intelligence, and senses to the Lord. Among the objects of the senses, aversion should be applied on any that are unfavorable for devotional service, and attachment should be applied on any that are favorable for devotional service. Right? So in other words, the senses, one of the mind wants to engage the senses. So you're applying the aversion and attachment. So those things you're attached to that you can engage in the Lord's service, then that attachment is what's cultivated. If attachment is not going to work, then aversion is what is cultivated. Right? But still, attachment and aversion are still duality. The point is, as we said before, the previous point was about indifference. Right? That's actually neutral. Right? Because we'll take it that I'm attached, so if I'm averse, then that's advancement. No, that's how the Mayavadis would look at it. Is I'm attached. And then, so if I'm indifferent, that's advanced. But indifferent doesn't mean the modern indifferent, where indifferent means you don't interact nicely. Indifferent means you have no need. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? The brahmachari is averse to women. So therefore, when it comes time to serve prasad, he just goes down the line quickly and, you know, just sort of gets out of there and it's like that. He can't do a proper job like that. So that will annoy the women. So the brahmachari who's attached to the women, he'll come down and very nicely and this and that and all that. That also annoys the women, right? The brahmachari who's indifferent, then he has nothing to gain. And there's nothing to lose, so therefore he will serve properly. Does that make sense? So that's the point. Indifference on the Vedic standard means you'll be able to do it very nicely because you have no motive. Does that make sense? Well, in the modern context, unless you have motive, it's considered you won't do a good job. But until the restlessness of the intelligence is vanquished, how will the restlessness of the mind be checked? When the restlessness of the intelligence is vanquished, the mind can regulate attachment and aversion for sense objects by the strength of the intelligence. Okay, so then the mind means you can overcome the restlessness of the mind by dovetailing all the by the sense objects, either positively or negatively, right? But that will be difficult because the mind is attached to the senses and the restlessness. So therefore, by cultivating removing the restlessness of the intelligence, then that intelligence will be able to guide the mind to overcome the restlessness of the mind. Does that make sense? Yes.
In the Krishna book, Maharaj mentioned that one should learn the secret of, if the desires are too big, shrinking the desires.
Yes. It means you're engaging here the restlessness of the mind, right? The greed, the desire. But you're using the intelligence to see what is important and what's not. Because otherwise, it's everything, but you reduce it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like in the previous one, it was discussing about engaging the senses. So the association of women, so then the idea is that, women are desirable, right? So then but that's not going to happen. If you look at it actually, in reality, you're going to be able to enjoy all the women or all the men of the planet. No, that's not going to happen, right? So one has to reduce it down to what is actually practical. So that one could be with one man or one woman. Does that make sense? So like that, then it's just, it's because the mind just wants. But if you think about it, then it only wants certain things. So by knowing those certain things, then you've reduced it down to, otherwise, it could be anything. Your options are left open. That's what the mind does. It just leaves it open. But if you don't leave it open, it's exactly this. And then those you think about how to connect to the Lord, either using the attachment or the aversion. Then it works very nicely. Does that make sense? So the point is this. You're using a technique. It's not that it's itself ideal. It's only a part of the devotional process. So therefore, in using this, then the grihastha being attached to the family, engaging that in the service, or the brahmachari being averse to those things, it's being used to control the mind. But it's not ideal. We can say, well, the brahmachari, this and that, they have to, but the point is, but the grihastha is the same. You know what I'm saying? It's no different. Aversion and attachment are no different. So if you point out the brahmachari's aversion is bad, well, the grihastha's attachment is bad also. They're both the same. The point is they have to understand that it's only a technique being used to get themselves to the proper platform. Does that make sense? When the restlessness of the intelligence is vanquished, The mind can regulate attachment and aversion for sense objects by the strength of the intelligence. The intelligence is that which discriminates between the mind's good and bad propensities. That intelligence is of two types, resolute and many-branched. There is one type of resolute intelligence, and there are unlimited types of many-branched intelligence. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:41, those who are on the spiritual path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. So in other words, those on the spiritual path, there is only one perspective. So it doesn't matter what's the sampradaya or anything. It's the devotee serving the Supreme Lord. So they're resolute in that. You know, what is the form of the Lord? What is the methods of serving? That's detail. But that resolution of being focused just on the Supreme Lord and His service, then that's one. There is no other determination. So you don't have any difference. That's why we can say Vaishnav, because it's one determination. Right? But when we talk about the materialists, then we talk about so many. Right? Because always you're just talking about Vaishnav. We're talking about more or less advanced, but it's not a category. It's still Vaishnav. But the others, then you have the Mayavadis, you have the sense enjoyers, those attached to the sense enjoyers, the Dharmadvajis, like this. So. Those whose intelligence is fixed in samadhi are transcendentally situated and have steady minds. Their symptoms are given in Bhagavad Gita 2:55-56 as follows. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O Partha, when a man gives up all varieties of desire for sense gratification, which arise from mental concoction, and when his mind thus purified finds satisfaction in the self alone, then he is said to be pure in transcendental consciousness. One who is not disturbed in mind even amidst the threefold miseries, or elated when there is happiness, and who is free from attachment, fear, and anger, is called a sage of steady mind. So when the desire for sense gratification is given up, right? Because mental concoction, why do we use the word mental concoction? Because the idea that you can enjoy by it, it's a mental concoction. And if you go to apply it and it doesn't work, which it can't work, right? Because it's a concoction, then we'll come up with a new concoction. Oh, because we didn't do it this way, that's why we didn't work. And like that, we just go on and on and on. So the mental speculation. So we use mental speculation to concoct new, ways to be happy. Does that make sense? But there is no happiness.
So basically, it doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense, but for the mind, it doesn't have to make sense like that. That's why the mind should be controlled by the intelligence. Right? So when it's thus purified that it doesn't do that, and is satisfied in just, the self alone, or in then one is situated in pure transcendental consciousness, right? So he's not going to be disturbed. Things aren't going nicely, he's not disturbed. Things are going very nicely, he's not disturbed. That's how you tell.
When somebody goes to the temple to be seen by the Lord, as the deity form, or to go to see the Lord, or I'm going to purify myself with this mantra. So then, in this regard about strengthening the intelligence so that the restlessness goes away, and then controlling the mind, then it's one can make the endeavor, but unless Krishna blesses one,
it won't be successful. No. So that's the point, is that sincere endeavor, that's when then Krishna becomes pleased with that, then he gives the blessing. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like, let's say we're chanting and the mind goes off someplace. So the mind's being brought back, but being brought back to? Yeah. But we're worried about that it's going away. That's the problem. No, it's that it's not fixed on Krishna. That's the problem. You know, it's just like, is the problem that the kid's going away from doing the work or that the work's not getting done? Yeah, so therefore, that's why you go off, and when he goes the next day, you go and, you know, call him back in and get to see that he does his work. You understand? But we might get into the thing that, no, it's just supervising them to see that, you know, that they're not doing their work. But the work's not your focus. That's not important to you. So if that's the mood, then how one will... Where would be the basis of the blessing? You know, where would it be the basis of the mercy? Because you're not interested in focusing on Krishna. You're interested in not focusing on Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Though technically they're the same, but one subservient to the other. But we've made the one prominent, and focusing on Krishna as secondary, and the not being distracted as primary. Does that make sense? So that's why one has to be able to see the difference.
You know. When you're trying to not be distracted, you're still trying to control yourself.
You're trying to control, but if you're trying to, you know, this is what you can do in the process. But you understand, is the devotional process that's controlled by the Lord and His internal potency. So we can assist in that.
Said that, like when Haridas Thakur, he was chanting, he wasn't trying to do anything.
Yeah, he's just focusing on the name.
Yeah.
He's just, you know, hearing the name, and it's nice, you know.
It sounds nice.
Does that make sense? You know, so that's it. It's just...
Trying to control the mind seems like contamination of yoga.
On one level it is, but if you're trying to control the mind so you can hear nicely about Krishna, then there's a non-difference. Then it's always remember Krishna, never forget. But if you just focus on never forget, but don't actually, the purpose not forgetting means you're remembering, then that's where I'm saying the weakness is. You know what I'm saying? But if it's a matter of you're controlling the mind so that you can focus nicely on Krishna, that's good. That's what you want to do. All we're doing is saying that, you know, always remember and never forget are non-different, but there is a difference. And always remember is the primary, never forgets the secondary. You know what I'm saying? But remembering Krishna, that's the direct spiritual activity. But the never forget is dealing with the external energy that is making us forget. So because we're accustomed to dealing with the externals, we tend to take that as more important. You know what I'm saying?
I didn't
cut this. But now you're bringing it back. What's its what's the purpose?
So I can hear what you
asked.
Okay.
It's Krishna's direct.
But I was thinking of the question. You know, I was thinking more. It was actually to do with the question. I didn't go. I was actually thinking of the question. You know.
The beach isn't in the British Isles.
Probably not.
No. Unless you like freezing cold wind. Yeah.
Krishna can tell also that you have to put the clothing on and everything, the clay and everything like that. It's like, you know, you're like, Krishna, please control my intelligence, but he can tell that you're too looking to get more fixed on, so you can control it.
No, he can tell the difference. He can tell. Yeah. The point is one is, why has one dressed and done all these activities? It's because you're doing it to please Krishna, even though you're thinking of something else that's still progressive. But it's just a matter of time of keeping at that, then slowly, slowly, then that will become, one will become fixed. Right? And then... Yes, there's hope. Actually, I may have been wrong. Probably in Berlin, it would have been a chopped barley. Hmm? I said probably in Berlin it would have been a chopped Harley, not a bombed Harley.
I don't know.
And definitely, but it could be a Bob Marley. Did we answer your question, or did we get in between? Yeah. So, in other words, it being done to please Krishna, then that's what you want, but being done because you make the mistake that just not being distracted is what's good, that's not enough. It's not being distracted means then you're focused on Krishna. That's what you want. Because you can't be focused on Krishna and distracted at the same time. So that the point of not being distracted, it's important, is then you're focusing on Krishna. But if you're not distracted, but you're not thinking of Krishna, then that's also not so.
The mechanical thing is not new to me, but focusing on the positive is new.
Yes, yeah. That's what we mean, because it's spiritual. We're not used to that. We're used to just, the mechanics are right, it's perfect. Just like there was this one example of you've heard of this Japanese bow. They have this really kind of unique bow, and the arrow is fixed at one third up the string instead of in the middle like other bows, and you don't pull it, you know, at chest level. They put it straight above the head and then pull with both arms straight out. So it takes a lot of, you know, a lot of practice, strength, so many things. So, and then you know, the arrow is released, and you know it should hit the mark, right? That's the normal thing, right? But when it's done properly, there's a particular sound that it makes, right? So someone will practice it, and then when they get to the point where they're actually able to do it, the sound comes. But one clever Westerner, he understood it was the sound. And then just practice what got the sound. Right? So then when he did it in the mass, you know, he released the arrow and got the sound. But he didn't necessarily have the technique or, you know, like that. So he was focusing on the sound, not on the attitude that was there in shooting the arrow. Right? Because it's a form of meditation. You're just using a bow and arrow as the medium for the meditation. So he wasn't meditating on whatever they were supposed to meditate. He was meditating just on the sound. So then the master was not overly pleased. Does that make sense? So we think that if I have the externals, then I have all the things, you know. I got the outfit, you know, I got the black nails, and I got my tattoo, and, you know, I got my top hat, and, you know, I got all these things, then, you know, I've made it. But that's externals. But, you know, it's the attitude that's more important. You know what I'm saying? So we're used to just getting those things together, because that's how it's being projected to us. You have the degree, you've made it. You know, you have your house, you've made it. You have a car, you've made it. You know, you have your girl, you've made it. You know, but it's not. It's so we're used to. It's just if there's external form, but it's actually the attitude that's important. You know what I'm saying? Because when you go to those big, high-end parties, it's the attitude. The guy has money and he has all the things, but no one will associate him because he doesn't have the right attitude. And he can't figure it out because, you know, he may be even richer and have more facilities than most of the people there. But still no one likes him because he's not actually rich by mentality.
Maybe that's why he's rich and money.
Yeah, could be.
Compensating.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prema Nandini.